I don't want to be that guy that sits and blames everybody else in the church for the church not being the church. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that keeps waiting on things to go come together my way before I'll step in and do it God's way. I don't want to be that guy that judges everybody for their faults instead of loving them for the good that's inside of them. I don't want to be that guy that'll only preach when everybody's shouting down the house. I don't want to be that guy that'll only preach when I know that they packed it full to hear me. I want to be the guy, like my mama said all her life, that'll take the low seat. I want to be the guy that'll go through some suffering a little bit, let you walk all over me. Go ahead and walk all over me, because if that'll get you to Jesus, go ahead and walk all over Jared. If that'll get you to the throne room, that's all that matters. His brothers walked all over him. His brothers walked all over him. They threw him out as if he was nothing, not because that he was a son of Jacob, but because of the fear that they had for what was in store and what was to come. And little did they know that by trying to destroy him, they enabled him and moved the process even faster. So I know this is going to sound crazy. It might sound crazy to you tonight, what I'm about to say, but I want you to get a hold of this spiritually. It's time that we stop running from the devil and praying for God to bail us out, and starting to embrace the challenges that God has given us. If you really looked at what you're going through with a spiritual vision, you would begin to read it in the Word of God that says there is nothing impossible to God, and it is but a small thing. Somebody needs to say that over their situation right now. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody needs to say, there is nothing impossible, God. There is nobody that you cannot reach. There is no one that you cannot touch, but there is no soul that God will not move in. There is not a person in this world that God cannot save. You give me any bill that comes in the mail and tell me if it's not a bill that God can't pay. You give me any kind of sickness and tell me, is it a sickness that God can't heal? Give me a church that's in ruin and tell me, could we not build it back? Give me a church that is in discord and tell me, is there not a spirit that will bring it together? Give me anything that is corrupt with demons and tell me, is there not a God in heaven that will deliver them? Nothing is impossible to God. Not a thing. Not a thing. Joseph hung on not just to faith, but he had a present hope because he received what God had gave him. And I'm going to just sort of paraphrase a little bit of the story. But I can imagine in prison that you would be quite bored, because back then they didn't offer you very much but a place to sit. And I can just imagine Joseph when he woke up from that dream. I can imagine he didn't wonder about where he was in the bondage. But there had to be a moment where the stillness and peace of God came in. And I can imagine, even all the times he was forgotten, that there was one thing that resounded within him, that though my brothers forsake me, though people of high esteem forsake me, though all may fail me, God, you have not. Lord, I still have that dream. In church, since he saved me, he gave me a dream. He gave me a dream. That one day, when this body finally gives out, that there is a better home that I'm going to. And I won't have to deal with people's trauma anymore. And I won't have to fight to pay the bills anymore. And those people I have to let go of for sickness and grieve their loss will no longer occur. I won't have to wait for the sun to rise another day before I can see the beauty that God has given. I know there's a day coming when I draw my last breath in this flesh, that my spirit man shall descend into a heaven far eternal. Tonight, church, I'm clinging to a dream that God gave me when he saved me. Sometimes the church services may not be to your preference, and it may not have the kind of shouting that you like, or it may not be as quiet as you would like, or it may not be the person you like to hear preach, or it might not be the circumstance that you would like to be in to come and worship. But God has given all of you a dream. He said that young men would dream dreams and that old men would see visions. In other words, God would not leave his people without something to draw into, that when they go through hard times, that they would not have help. The children of Israel tried to get to a place where they didn't. They tried to act like they didn't have. So they said, well, we're starving. And God sent them food. Then they said, well, this isn't the kind of food that I like. So he sent them an alternative. Yet that wasn't what was satisfying them. They were at an unrest because they refused to come out of bondage the way that God spoke it to them. They were at an unrest because they refused to believe that there was a God that would bring them out of their bondage. It is my humble belief that we as a church today are not in bondage to the world, but we are in bondage to one another. Because when we don't walk in the love of Christ, we are like Joseph's brothers. You'll see somebody come in, preach great, but we can't amen them because they preach greater than us. Somebody will sing, we can't show them support because we feel like that because they have something good, like they saw in Joseph, that it was going to destroy what was for them. I find that I have most of my conflicts not with the lost, not with atheists, but I find more conflict than anything with those that God has put around me to be close to. If I could tell you anything tonight, it's to not give in to the suffering through trying to find justice. That's what the Jews tried to do to Christ. They felt intimidated because there was a man walking the streets healing lepers. There was a man walking the streets healing the blind. Didn't have any long robe on. Probably walked with a dirty robe, I would imagine. He didn't have a washing machine. He didn't have a shower. He probably had an odor about him. Walking around in 100 degree weather, I can imagine he didn't really look the part of a preacher that you'd see with a suit and tie and fancy dress shoes and Sperry's to wear on the feet. But he was walking the streets healing those. And there was a group of people that said, we're not going to have this Jesus coming in and making us look like that we're nothing. But you see, by them going against him, it elevated what we now know today as the sacrifice that we believe in that brings us salvation. So what is it that we're preaching tonight? Before you go to battle that trouble, before you go to try and face what's out there, you have got to learn like Joseph to look down in the depths of you and realize there is going to be suffering. There will be hard times. There will be tough things that I don't see coming. There will be people come against me. There will be days of plenty. There will be days of famine. Yet if I will continue to trust in God, I feel like I'm reaching in the depths of somebody's soul right now. I feel that, Doris, with all that's in me. High times, low times, times when you have friends, in times of loneliness, he's the same God in bondage, same God in prison, same God that delivered me from drugs. He's the same God that preaches me now. He'll be the same God that brings my soul out of this body and taking me into life eternal. It's the same God that's going to be with you in your hard time. I beg you to hear this preacher right now. You have got to recognize that there will be suffering in your life. There will be tests as Joseph was tested. And if you will learn to rejoice in your tribulation and be faithful to God and receive it. And listen, sometimes when I praised him, I didn't have it yet. I was praising him for something I didn't have yet. And sometimes it didn't come when I wanted it to. But when God saw fit for me to receive it was when I was ready. And in that time, God blessed me with it. And I rose from the suffering, but I didn't go without a little trouble. And if we are ever going to learn to come together without judgment, without rumors, without beating each other up over our petty mistakes. We have got to learn how to deal with our own suffering. I've met people that have made my life miserable because their life was miserable. I've met people that because they had problems, they didn't want anybody around them to be happy, and they would speak negatively over everything. You'd tell them that you won the lottery with $1 million, and they'd say, well, it wasn't 2 million. They'd always have something to say to try to provoke you. I want you to know that when God blesses you at church, or He brings tears to your eyes in your bedroom, that those are moments He's blessing you with, that when trouble comes, you can look back to that night and say, God, You're the same thing that I felt when I was dancing in the aisle. And even tonight, Lord, I recall times when I just remember crying. I remember one time I was here at a service, and we were singing, and there I don't think there was that many people that night to play the music. And I remember getting up there, and I was like, well, what am I going to sing? I didn't know what to do. And I remember singing two bars of Amazing Grace, and the rest of it I was shouting for about 4 or 5 minutes. And I remember people, when I opened my eyes, they were looking at me like, is he done yet? But see, they didn't realize what was going on. I was having one of those dreams in my life. God was giving me something that I could look back on and remember. And I can still remember that night and still remember the word that was being preached. And I look back on that time and I'm like, God, so you mean to tell me when we have air conditioning and we have lit up rooms, we have padded pews, we have times, we have watches to get here on time, we have a PA equipment, we don't have to shout anymore, we can just talk right here and everybody can hear it. Everything's so convenient, but we can't look back to a time where God was good then. When we don't recall the blessings of God, it's like you're taking a good thing and throwing it away. Nobody in their right mind would take $1,000 and put it in the garbage. Nobody. Nobody would take $1 million and just throw it away. Why? Because it's valuable to you. You know that you could use it to benefit you. It's the same way with God's spiritual blessing. You just have to see how much they're worth to you before you just toss it to the side. Joseph could have had that dream and never shared it to anybody. But it was through his obedience of what God gave him that brought it to life. If I had never answered the call to preach, I would not be blessed with the blessings of a preacher. Never would have got them. If God gave you the ability to sing and you do not operate in the gift of song, then you cannot be blessed as a singer would be blessed. Do you understand where I'm coming from tonight? What God gives you spiritually is for you to obey and to do. Well, brother, I'm not a singer and I'm not a preacher and I'm not a teacher. God has given you something special. It might be just to show up one day and tidy up the building. God called people to do that. He's called people to do a variety of things. He even used a donkey in the Word of God. So there are even beasts that can be used for a special purpose. So don't tell me that you're in here without a reason. God has brought you to 13th Street tonight to do something. It was not just to come and hear the word, and it wasn't just to hear a song, but it was for you to get stirred in your heart that that special thing that is within you, that you use it to God's glory. If I never started preaching, I would never have realized what it felt like to come up out of what I was suffering in. And there's so many. You're just one sermon away from coming up out of this mess. You're one song away from coming up out of this. You're one step away from the altar to be able to be saved. You're just one thought away from putting depression under your feet. You're one more test of patience away from overcoming that provoking attack of the devil. There were some days that I thought, God, I'm just going to have to live with depression the rest of my life. I'd heard doctors say it's a disease. You don't get rid of it. It's something that lives with you. It's something that you'll have to take medication for. It's something that you'll never shake because you are chemically made this way. And I begin to think, now God, I know that you're greater than somebody telling me that I have to settle for how this body will tell me to feel. And I don't really remember the night that it happened. All I remember is that one day, I just wasn't depressed anymore. And even when I tried to be sad, even when I tried to go back there, that bridge was burned. there was no entry back to the same thing that I came out of. So now, when the devil tries to provoke me in other emotions, through confusion, through aggravation, I look back to a time where I used to be depressed, and I want to tell all of us tonight, there is a deliverance even from anger. There is a deliverance from confusion. You can walk and may be surprised by things, but you won't be totally blindsided, because what you have in you is enough to endure it. I'm talking to some people tonight. I feel it. You might be in bondage to some things right now. Physical things, emotional bondage. You might be under attack by somebody even in your own house. You might have a coworker that's despitefully using you. You might be in some form of bondage tonight. But just remember, use this opportunity not to go and get justice for it, not to throw them under the bus and get even, but to pray for those that will despitefully use you, to bless those that would curse you, and to take the chance just on the very notion of faith that God will change the situation. I want to tell you that there's been some coworkers that I've worked with that I prayed for, and I worked honestly, and I let them take the credit, and I let them throw me under the bus, and I fell on my own sword many of days. But there was a day that came in my first job where they gave me a raise I wasn't expecting. And they evened up the playing field where I was making just as much as my peers. And all of that using me and all of that that I had endured, God bless me to endure for a season. So I want to remind us tonight that there is a season of bondage. But if you can love them, he could have been sitting in that bondage and begrudging his brothers for what they had done. But then I go to the silver cup that he left them in their sack. And that's that token of grace that God has given us to show mercy to those that despitefully use us. That was God's way through the silver cup, showing that, hey, you can't always get justice over everything that you face, but you've got to learn to love people and feed them and give them riches they didn't deserve and bless them even when they come against you. If you're waiting for the sermon when everybody shouts amen as soon as you say something, that day may not ever come. But you've got to learn to give the silver cup and bless them in spite of it. There's been some times when I've tried to witness and encourage somebody when they appeared that they needed counseling, just to talk through something, and about halfway through, all of a sudden, they throw the walls up and make you feel like that you're judging them for what they're going through. And I just want to remind you that in anything that you will offer to God, the devil doesn't want it to happen. He wants to continue to rip people out of church. He wants to take the good workers out of the house of God through faults and through temptations. He wants more than anything to not have any unity in the church. He doesn't mind a million people being in a building. He doesn't mind a million people even shouting as loud as they can. What the devil doesn't like is people coming together to do the will of God. When you're doing the will of God, you cause the enemy to be in fear. That dream gave Joseph's brothers fear. They were fearful of the favor that God had given him. So the people that are coming against you, it's not they think they're better than you. They're afraid of the favor that's on your life. They may not see the coat that you're wearing, but you have an anointing. Say this with me, I've got it. You have an anointing on your life that nobody can take from you. And as you go through what you're going through, when you open up an envelope and say, man, I don't have this in my account, let the favor kick in. And just say, what is this one piece of paper to what my God can do? What is this one thing to what God can do? Let me read just a little more and we'll be finished. I appreciate your attention. And it said, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or thou shalt indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. I close with this thought tonight. When you offer yourself in obedience to God, you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. You will face people that will come against you. But don't play in to what they will do to you. Don't give in to those small words they'll say. Jesus even said that even if they persecuted you, that they persecuted me first. Jesus made the pathway. Just imagine this aisle way to the altar is a pathway. Jesus made a pathway so that you're able to walk a path that though it may be very narrow and though it may be hard to walk at times, He made a pathway that we could all walk by the anointing in the Spirit to be as made perfect. How are we made perfect if we are man that fails? By the Spirit. That means that every anger can be ridden from our life. Every confusion you can be at peace in. Every adversity you can believe boldly that you will overcome. I'm telling you, there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing. I'm looking at my enemies and everything in my life tonight, and I'm just declaring it in the name of Jesus. It is nothing to God. That soul I'm praying for, that transaction I'm praying for, that place I'm looking for to live, it's nothing to God. And all that He asks us to do is hear the Word and by faith do the Word. So if you receive this in your spirit tonight, God bless you. God sent it for you. I certainly didn't come with all this. But God has sent you a word that you can remember days from now and say to yourself, now God, I just heard your word. And Lord, I'm going to recall back to a time previous in my life where you've blessed me. It's hard to talk about. But every time that I ever have a hard time pressing through preaching, I remember a time when I wasn't in control of my own body. And then I know just how real that God is. Anytime I ever have a hard time singing, I just remember what He brought me from. And it's never hard. It's not hard to shake hands. It's not hard to be in fellowship. It's not hard to pray. It's not hard to worship. It's not hard to open up the Bible and dig into His Word. If you just recall, Peter said to stir up the gifts that are within you. He was saying stir up and recall the times in your life when those gifts were abundant and use them in the time of your persecution. Because I've always asked all my life, how can you rejoice in a fiery trial? How can you rejoice when you don't have the power within yourself? But don't you know God made a pathway that we're always able to remember just where we came from. We are forgiven of our sins, but God didn't blot out the day we were saved. Why? So we can look back and remember just how bad off we really are. Then our long robes or our pride that we wear today will be put in its place. And we won't act like that we're so good that we are too good to worship. That we won't act like that we're so good that we're too good to be able to help people, pass them on by. But we'll be raised up to be a people that will follow like Joseph did and rise up through favor to the blessings. The crown wasn't anything that I believe Joseph was desiring, or he would have given up in his flesh. If it was about the riches, he wouldn't have clung to the dreams of God. It was about something more than that. You understand where we're going? Joseph didn't care about riches. For if he cared about riches, he would have died in slavery, saying to God, how can I work for so little when you've given me a dream for so much? How can my brothers throw me to the side when I've seen them bow before me? So if it was about what he was going to get in his flesh, then he would have given up a long time ago. We walk as Christians so much looking for prosperity when all that God wants us to do is to be faithful for what he will bring us. We overcomplicate this thing. It's so easy to come in and have a good time in God. What makes it difficult is when we struggle in the trial. find it hard to pray, find it hard to repent, find it hard to even fellowship with one another. I've been there. I've been there. I'll say it five more times if I have to. I've been there. I've been to a place where I wasn't able even just to greet somebody. You know, we don't even greet with a holy kiss anymore. We hardly even say howdy, hi, or how's it going, what's up, sup, or whatever you want to say. We hardly even find the pride within us to put it down just to be able to legitimately care about somebody else's well-being. But we want to walk so holy that we act like that there's nothing wrong in our life, that we do no wrong, that we do no harm. But I recall that in my life I've failed many times. And I've learned that through the Spirit, I learned to fellowship through the Spirit. I cling to the promises of Him, and through Him, I'm able to rise to favor and not failure. God doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to rise through favor. Live in His favor, and don't live in your failures. Are you blessed tonight?